Molly continues live from North and South Seafood Smokehouse in Verona. The vibes here, Matt, are fantastic. We got the Eat North South sign behind us. We got the Christmas-type glow going on, barbecue smell in the air. And after the show, well, we take in the Kelly Sheffield show with John Audius from 6 to 7 here at North South Seafood Smokehouse. You and I can enjoy some Coors Light, because if the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
Molly Brown back up at the zoo. We are now joined by Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. You can hear that 5A to 9A here on ESPN Madison. Evan, I wanted to start this conversation with you about your favorite team in Wisconsin, I believe, the Wisconsin Badgers football team. And I know you joined Wilde and Tausch, but I wanted to ask you initially, what was your thoughts when you kind of saw that the Badgers had fired their offensive coordinator, something that doesn't happen often, but now the Badgers have moved off, whether a head coach or a coordinator, mid-season twice in the last 4 years. What was your thought when you saw that news come through?
Yeah, in a weird way, Jim, I think my thought on this was staying true to your strengths is not a bad thing. And what I mean by that is we all know that our school, the University of Wisconsin, has always been awesome at producing linemen and running backs and actually some very good receivers, just not necessarily the same exact receivers that Alabama produces, right? Like, we're not, like, Lee Evans and Chris Chambers, just to name a couple, awesome NFL receivers, right? Maybe they would have played at Alabama. Likely not, right? Like, they come in as lower star recruits, and the Badgers program develops them into great players, okay? And I say that because when they made that move on Sunday, it was the realization of, like, maybe we should just be what we're good at prior to our arrival. And what I'm saying is, Luke Fickell comes in, and he wants to put together this air raid offense, and he probably wants to get the same kinds of offensive skill position players that he got at Ohio State specifically, and, like, that's not necessarily going to happen at Wisconsin. But you know what you're going to get? Five offensive linemen that play simultaneously that will all play on Sundays with a running back that will play on Sundays and maybe one receiver every 3 years that will play on Sundays. That's the formula. Go back to it.
And that makes me a little sad because I don't want to see what was here with Paul Chryst at the end. I am a big fan, and this is where I am hopeful, and you're great at this as far as making connections of people that Luke Fickell might want to hire. And I think Luke Fickell has some interesting ties to former Ohio State coaches, and I think that power spread at Ohio State, and some of his coaches are at Notre Dame now too, that power spread I think can work at Wisconsin and can be a hybrid of what Wisconsin ran in the past and what they tried to run with Phil Longo. Who are some names, that I'm sure you've looked into it, who are some names that jumped to your mind that could be possible replacements for Phil Longo here?
Yeah, I go back, Jim, to the Wisconsin people, right? I don't go as much to the Fickell people. And I know that's where you and I kind of differ on this, right? Like, you're going, and it's fair. Like, your angle on this is fair. Tom Herman has been a Division I head coach at Texas and then most recently at FAU, where Jim went to school, but I actually don't even think you're bringing him up because of your ties to FAU. I think it's more so the ties to Fickell, right? Yep. They worked together at Ohio State. People are bringing up the guy that he brought in who was there for a month before leaving. I don't remember the guy's name, but whoever that guy was that he was there was in Cincinnati, whatever, and then went to Notre Dame.
What's his name?
That would be Gino Gaduli.
Yeah, I don't think that's how you say the last name, but yeah, him. Anyway.
I swear to God.
That's why I don't want to say it.
Okay, no, you know what? I'm wrong then. I'm wrong. Sorry, primetime. I may be wrong on that. I apologize. So anyway, where I go are the old Badger guys who have never been in the role with UW-Madison under Luke Fickell. For example, Jason Eck is the head coach at Idaho. He's a former offensive lineman for the Badgers. Bubbly, kind of over-the-top personality. I remember he was in school when I was in school. And he was always around the program, and he was a coach when I was covering or in school there, whatever. That's kind of the Packers model. Go get somebody that has been a head coach at a lower level and make him into a coordinator, i.e. Halfley. I know it's college to pro, but you get the overall point. How about Scott Tolzien? He's with the Cowboys right now. He is a former Badger quarterback who's with Mike McCarthy, and, you know, there's a guy coaching the NFL with Dak Prescott. Right? Yeah. So that's kind of where I go. I think we need to get back to a little bit of what we used to be and let Luke Fickell sprinkle in some of the new stuff with it. He's the head coach. He can institute part of the offense too. But I still think there needs to be an old school, big, beefy Joe Thomas, Mark Tauscher, Ron Dayne, Matt Bernstein kind of mentality. And, you know, Monte Ball, Anthony Davis, James White, et cetera, like that the Badgers now are going to possess. Because, by the way, one other thing. I mean, at what point is Braylon Allen coming out with this podcast about the current coaching staff? Because that's what I'd like to know. You know?
I mean, he doesn't have a lot of legs to stand on with that, though. I'll be honest. I don't think most people in Madison care what Braylon has to say. Yeah.
Jim, I want to know the scoop.
He was always complaining.
Thank you, Molly.
He's always a complainer. Okay, he's a blame others guy.
If Braylon Allen played for Barry Alvarez, Brett Bielema, or Paul Chryst, he'd be a starting running back in the NFL right now because he would have been drafted higher by a win-now team that would have used him to lower the cost at the running back position. That is my thought on that.
That's not that off, but him and Aaron Rodgers paired together I think works out well. Right, Matt, do you have a...
I'm just going to let that one go, Jim. Evan, you talked about how the Badgers getting back to the roots, right? The offensive line, running backs, and then you mentioned the receivers once every 3 years get someone pro ready. I guess it's not a pushback, but like
makes me sad.
Badgers, it's not. I don't think it's the receivers. I think there are some guys who had potential, but we really haven't had a quarterback that was worth a damn since Russell.
Yeah.
Right?
That's been our biggest problem. Very fair. But, Matt, here's the thing, though. I guess the way I look at it, and it's not even a pushback. It's just a fact, what you just brought up, right? It's that you don't even have to push back on it. I think quarterbacks at this point are acquired. Linemen can be developed, and running backs can be developed. And what I mean by that is if you want a great quarterback, you got to raise the funds to go get a great quarterback. And I believe, and I told you guys this before the season, I thought Tyler Van Dyke was going to be good. I don't think we discussed that injury and how much it hurt the team. I understand people saw a limited amount of him. I didn't. I watched him at Miami. I saw enough of him to think he was going to be the best quarterback the Badgers have had in years. So I don't think we should diminish that when he gets hurt early in that Alabama game like he did. But I'm relying on Big Cat for that. I mean, that's Barstool. Big Cat. That's his job. Big Cat has said on KBN before you guys that he's going to go and get a quarterback. So I'm not worried about Fickell getting a quarterback. That's on Big Cat. He's amazing. He's committed to the program. I am someone that believes in Big Cat, and Big Cat is going to get us a quarterback.
I love that.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We're talking with Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. You can hear him weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on ESPN Madison. Evan, I'm curious. Are you concerned at all now that the Badgers have two more games this season against Nebraska in Nebraska and then back at home the day after Thanksgiving against Minnesota? Are you concerned at all that the Badgers don't get another win and miss a bowl game?
I am, Molly, and I was doing some research on this the other day. I think if that happens, this would be the worst back-to-back for the Badgers since the early Alvarez years. Number of wins or win percentage, one or the other, Primetime could look it up, that if you look at the back-to-back season, total wins. So what are they? How many wins did they have last year?
Seven.
Is that
and how many
the
wins
game
this year so far?
Five.
So 12. So I don't remember when I was looking at it, I don't remember if I was looking at overall win percentage or total wins in back-to-back full seasons. I'm not talking about the COVID-shortened season or anything like that. Yeah. So it must have been win percentage or full season, whatever it is. It's like the worst back-to-back that we have had since the early Alvarez years. So, yeah, I'm concerned about that. And I believe I am not anti-Luke Fickell. I thought it was a great hire when they hired him. I still am going to have belief in him. But I do believe fans are already restless. And I believe that next year is a very much must-win year because I don't know how much longer in the modern day of college football you get after that.
So, you know, this Badger talk's upsetting me. And what also upset me earlier
Who is Jim just talking to as I was talking?
I covered my mic. I'm sorry.
He was trying to talk to me.
I was trying to tell him to change this to Packers.
What?
My bad.
Oh, and I had a flawless transition until you interrupted me.
I apologize. I was answering too many of your questions about the Badgers that I was boring you, Jim, that you had to say on the air, off the air, to Matt, that I was talking too much about the Badgers. Sorry, let's go to the Packers now. I'm surprised Jim doesn't want to spin it towards the Bears because a lot of people care about that.
Oh, we'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's been trying. So here's my question for you about the Packers. We've gotten into a debate a little bit.
Yeah, we've got to talk about the Packers, Jim said.
Yeah, Jim said so, and I just follow the rules. You know me. Jim's arguing that the Packers are not a top-10 team in the NFL, and he wanted to put, in his opinion, Washington over Green Bay in the NFC.
You misquoted me slightly. I wanted to prove a point. The Packers have slid down to the – they weren't a top-5 team in the NFC was a conversation, too. So, anyways, go ahead.
I just want to know, just on that head-to-head, Washington versus Green Bay. Where's your confidence
Regular season or postseason? When is this game taking place?
We're doing the rankings for today, so it's going to be a regular season game.
Yeah, regular season. Next week, if Packers were to play Washington instead of San Francisco, who's winning that game?
Yeah, Green Bay.
Thank you.
I'm putting Green Bay above. Here's the thing.
Etch it in stone, Evan.
I think that... Well, this has been a weird season for the Packers, right? In my opinion, they are worse this year than I thought they would be. But I don't know that it'll matter once they get to the playoffs, because I think if you look around at the NFC right now, the team that they have struggled with the most may not make the playoffs in San Francisco. Outside of Detroit, and I'll include Philly, who I think is very good, but I'll include Philly in there. Is there any team that a Packers fan right now would not feel like the Packers could beat in the playoffs amongst Philly, Minnesota, Arizona, and Atlanta, and Washington? Every Packers fan listening right now would say, no, I'd pick our team over that team. The two teams in the NFC in a playoff game that they would not blindly pick Green Bay over would be the Lions at 9-1, and I still believe San Francisco, just because the history would be in their minds on that. Every other team in the NFC, I think Green Bay fans would pick over, or Green Bay over that team. That doesn't mean they're right. That just means that's how I believe the Packers fans would feel. Now, what should Molly ask about now, Jim? Go ahead.
Yeah. Pessimistic Molly's got something.
I did actually text her to hop in.
No, that's actually.
Oh my God.
He was scrolling Blue Sky when he was.
I texted her and said, hop in, because she made a noise and because she disagreed with Evan.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't. The one team that gives me the hang up on that is the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the one team that just makes me nervous. And I know that they're not great. It's just, I said this before on the show, but.
Molly.
What?
I think they are great. I think Philly is great. I think that. Here's the thing. I think we're all tentative because of the coach. But go ahead, finish the point. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, it just feels like a lot of those teams that you just listed, even the Cardinals, like they're clicking. They're getting better. They are progressing every single week. And I don't think I can say that about the Packers right now. Like they just don't feel like a consistent team. The only strong win that I feel really great about this season was against the Arizona Cardinals, and that was when they weren't clicking at all. That's when the Cardinals weren't clicking at all. That, like, how can I hang my hat on that as a Packers fan? That now, moving forward, let me ask you a question. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Molly, specifically for you. Okay. So, are the Packers, in your mind, a flip the switch playoff team? Because we have kind of made up in our minds, oh, Jordan Love's going to be fine in the postseason. Look at what he did last year. Second half of last year was unbelievable. First half, not as much. They'll flip the switch like they did a year ago late in the season. It doesn't sound like you're there, that you're buying into that, because you're right. Some of these teams are clicking, Green Bay is not. But I feel like most of us just believe, like, at some point they're just going to flip the switch. Do you believe that?
I'm hopeful that they will, but I don't think that there's been anything this season that can prove that they will do that. You guys are laughing, but what else do I say? I mean, I can't just say yes. It's just, it feels like... Like, okay, this last week against the Bears, okay, Jordan Love did look better, right? He only threw the one interception, and it was a poor choice, but it didn't feel like he was out of control like he has been in past games. But, like I said, I just need to see that more on a consistent basis. But I can't say that I'm a believer in just flipping the switch at this point. I think you're crazy if you think that.
Well, call me crazy.
Well, Matt, you are crazy. You are the biggest Packers fan. So, just ugh.
So, Matt, you believe they're going to flip the switch. So, you believe even though, as Molly said, they're not clicking like other teams, when all of a sudden the calendar is in this late December, January, your belief is they're fine. They're going to flip the switch and be all good.
I think they have a fantastic coach that is figuring out what his second-year starter is capable of. Is he that Superman he saw in the second half of the season, or is he more of like the pedestrian where he needs to give him like a game script or civilian? That's it. And I personally think Matt LaFleur is going to find the best out of Jordan Love, and it's taken some time. He's trying to let him rip like he did at the end of last year. He might be realizing Jordan Love isn't just that let it rip kind of guy, and it's something you got to give someone time to grow into. And as much as Jim's like, hey, he's been there for 6 years, the guy's
hey, I'm just saying, Packers, being in the same offense seems pretty great.
It does.
Big advantage.
You can't practice game reps, and that is something that Jordan Love is essentially a second year player in. Game reps, and that is so important for LaFleur to figure out what he's got in Jordan Love. One season is not enough to know exactly what a guy is. They talk about the sophomore slump all the time. This is real. We have one of the best coaches who's going
slump.
To be able to work
super
with
senior.
Jordan Love.
I have another question, if I may. Matt.
Yes.
Are you still a blind faith believer in the quarterback of the New York Jets?
He was really nice to me once, Evan. Okay, that's where my head's at.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know about his football skills, but I think if he saw me in a bar, he would say hello, and that's where I'm gonna. That's where I'm gonna live
Matt,
on that. And die
Matt
on that.
Hamilton. Matt Hamilton, Olympian, ESPN Madison. I will ask again: are you still a blind faith believer in the quarterback of the New York Jets? Let me add context, if I may. A quarterback who has won less games this year than Zach Wilson did last year. A quarterback who has now seen in one season a coach and a GM fired. Are you still a blind faith believer in the quarterback of the New York Jets?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to continue a win streak when you lose a GM and lose a head coach. The continuity is not there for him. The guy needs a comfy blanket, and he doesn't have one in New York. Yes, Aaron Rodgers still can ball.
He doesn't have a comfy blanket? What are you talking about? He's bringing every single person in to make him comfortable. What are you talking about? He's running under Carlson.
He hasn't got a coach yet. He hasn't got his GM yet. He's getting there. He's slowly building his team. He's playing fantasy football with a real NFL football team, and it's amazing.
Wait, I wanted a question for Evan before we're running way over, but Evan, I think would appreciate this. So, if you're watching on the stream on YouTube, you can see Matt Hamilton's amazing sweater here. Now, give Evan the cliff notes of the sweater, and then how much you paid for it, because I want to know how much the most Evan's ever paid for a piece of clothing. Because this is it is high quality, and it is definitely, I think, I don't know if it's worth the money because it's a lot of money, but really great piece of clothing you're wearing, Matt. Give us the dazzling details.
I feel like Evan also appreciates the finer things in life. This is hand-spun wool in Norway, from Norway. It was knit in Norway, and it's one of those like classic Norwegian sweaters. It's even got like the steel clasps instead of buttons or zippers. Like, it's just a real authentic wool sweater, and I got it in Norway at a fairly reputable dealer.
He asked how much.
How much?
American or Norwegian kroner?
American.
Well, the thing is, I bought two because I bought my wife one as well.
Okay, so we'll just double the price.
It was about $325 American.
One or two?
Oh, wow.
For one.
For one. $325 for one?
Oh. Yeah,
maybe $350. I can't remember the exchange rate. I just said shut up and take my money.
Yeah. So what's the question? Do you want to know if I've ever spent more than that, Jim?
Have you ever spent more than that on a piece of clothing?
Not for myself, but I've spent a whole hell of a lot more than that for my wife. I can tell you that much.
Same. I bought my wife a jacket a couple years ago, and it was way more expensive than this guy.
But
I
not
mean,
for yourself.
If I'm going to be – I have no problem being honest on this. Like, for my wife, four figures many times.
Woo!
Nothing wrong with that. Not clothing as much as jewelry and bags.
Yes.
I was going to say bags.
Yes. Yeah, my eyes on the bags. I thought jewelry. But, yes, bags can do it, too. I kind of forgot that. So,
I don't want to go. You know what? I thought better of it. I probably should not go through the roster of bags that I have purchased. Probably better off leaving that out.
You're a good husband. That's what you're saying. That's all you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Basically, say hi to my friends Gucci, Louis, and Prada, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Evan. That's Evan
next.
Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. Weekdays 5-9 here on ESPN Madison. Ryan, give me a number.
Let's go caller number 5.
Caller number 5 wins a case of High Life. 844-770-3776. Caller number 5 wins a case of High Life, 844-770-3776. As we go to break here, though, I want to tell you about J&K Security Solutions. Whether it's your home or business, they can have it protected with commercial security, also home security, and they can help you control everything, the most important things in your life from anywhere in the world with Control 4. J&K Security, go contact my friends, the Beckmans, over at J&K Security Solutions. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Kevin Bozeman, and when I'm in town, I'm making sure I'm always listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, even when I'm on air. I still listen to myself, because that's how great that show is.